Over the Advent period, we've been looking at Advent visits. And going back, Paul brought the first one. He was talking about the unexpected visit. And if you remember, he was saying that this was when we were thinking that Jesus was coming again. And nobody knew the time when that would be. It was unexpected, and we were to be ready for that. And then Catherine came the next week, and she spoke about the challenging visit. And it was about John the Baptist preaching and challenging the people about their sins, and challenging us about our commitment to Christ and the commitment of being baptized. Then Paul spoke again on the thankful visit, and that was a visit that Mary made to Elizabeth. And when the baby was announced, and she gave that praise of thanksgiving for what God had done for her, or doing through her. And last week, no, not last week, it was yesterday. By the time flies quickly. But Andrews spoke to us about the enlightenment visit. And it was enlightening to us because, you know, now as I read the Christmas story, I understand a bit more and realize that the things that happened there, the prophecies and the promises, were fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ to the letter. God's wonderful. And today, we could be looking at, we could call it the promised visit, because this visit that God had promised was promised years and years ago. Or we could call it the God visit, because that's when God came to visit with us. Now, yesterday, as I've got the names all wrong, haven't I? Daphne was giving the old age talk. I said, she stole my talk! Actually, she couldn't have stole it from me, because I got it from God, and I know she got it from God. And so someone said, well, Wayne, look, if we're going to hear it twice, it must be something that we need to know. And so, virtually, I'm just summarizing what Daphne said to us yesterday. Because we're talking about the first thing is the cradle, the cross, and we're looking at the crown. Now, the cradle reminds us of God's presence, God with us. That was the thing that the angel said to Joseph, and that was his name that was promised long ago. And Paul, when he spoke to us the other week, he said it was sort of staggering, more than staggering, it's mind-boggling, that God, the Almighty, the creator of all the world and the universe, should actually come into the world as a person. And not only as a person, but as a baby, helpless, dependent, reliant on everything. And he was laid in a manger. But the thing that was, that baby, when you really think about it, so vulnerable. He needed to be fed. He needed to be changed. He needed to learn things. Now, if that isn't the humility, I don't know what is. That's humbling yourselves, doing all of that. And of course, Jesus didn't stay as a baby. He became a toddler, learning to walk, a child, learning the things at school. He became a teenager, and of course, a man. And that's the reason the crib is empty. He's no longer there. That's just part of the story. Because he grew to be a man, grew to show people the way of God. And when we've seen Christ, we've seen God, he said. But he came for a purpose, and that purpose was to die on the cross. And when I think about that, I also find that staggering. How could it be that God in his righteousness and holiness would take my sin upon himself and die in my place? He died in my place. He died in your place. It was like he was taking my filthy sin and claimed it as his own and gave me his righteous life. What a wonderful Savior we have. That's part of the story as well. The crib, the cross. And if you notice, the cross is also empty because Jesus didn't stay there. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again, and he ascended into heaven, where he's back in his rightful place. And he is now the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, I know, it's rather pathetic, isn't it? I did hope that King Charles would give me one of his crowns, but that didn't happen. But you know, even if King Charles did give me one of his crowns, it would pale into insignificance to the crown of the Lord Jesus Christ. His crown, to the Lord's crown, would be a bit like this. But the thing that is, the crown represents the power of God, the power of Christ. He's going to come again in power. He, like I said, he's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. This is what we as Christians are looking forward to. That was just part of the story. This is the, well, it's not the culmination either. It's like what was his name? C.S. Lewis said. He said, that's just the first chapter. And every chapter gets better and better and better. We've got something to look forward to. And we rejoice in what God has done for us in coming into this world as our Savior. Now, to sum up what we've been talking about, you know, I didn't do very good, did I? I kept talking. See, there's the cross. God's pardon. That represents that. And the crown represents God's power. Actually, that was quite good because it was summed it up again, didn't it? Now, I want us to sum it up all together by saying these words, if you can. Reading it together because it's really tells us the whole Christmas story. So, if we can read it together, if I ever get to my copy, because I'm short-sighted, I can't see that very well. Okay? Let's say it together. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that's from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 11. And that is the summary of the Christmas story to me.